Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
We continue our journey through the book of Mark this morning, and we'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. If you'd like to follow along here in the sanctuary, you'll find that verse on the back of your bulletin or here on the screen behind me. For those of you who are watching from home, again, on the screens behind us, or invite you to follow in your personal Bible. Again, this is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Hear the word of the Lord. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." Jesus asks his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, when I hear those words read, or I've listened to a preacher share on this story before, when I hear Jesus ask the question, "Do you still have no faith?" I'm a little bit unsettled by it. You see, I have many fears. There are things that I fear in my life. I fear that I'm going to fail as a husband or as a father. I fear that I might not live up to the calling God has placed in my life as a pastor. I fear that I might let down my friends or the people that I care about. There are lots of fears that we have, and in my life, when I have these fears, I ask myself, do I have faith? In the face of these fears, is it possible that the presence of those fears in my life indicate that I do not have the faith that God expects of me? And so by asking the question, "Do I have faith?" I'm implying that there is a relationship between fear and faith, that the two are correlated with one another in some fashion. It's as if that the presence of fear in my life is an indication that maybe I don't have faith. And so, in the face of my fears, Jesus asks me, "Why are you afraid?" And out of a desperation to prove that, in fact, I do have faith, I say, "Well, I'm not afraid. What are you talking about, Jesus? I don't have fears." I find myself denying these fears and pushing them aside. There are a couple of sources of fear in my home right now for my 18-month-old daughter, Epperly. One of them lives in the cabinet below the sink. The other lives in the closet in the hallway. They are, of course, the blender and the vacuum. When mom or dad pull out the blender or the vacuum, Epperly goes into DEFCON 5. Absolute screaming and crying. It's heartbreaking to watch. But she knows as soon as mom and dad turn on one of those appliances, it's going to be loud and it scares her. So she does exactly what I'm talking about. She just pushes her fears aside and tries to keep them in the cupboard or in the closet. And so Charlie and I, we go to open the closet door to get the vacuum, and suddenly we hear feet pop, 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 down the hallway. And she comes up and she puts her hands on the door. Mama, no. All done. All done. She goes to the kitchen when Charlie opens the cupboard door and she closes it and she says, Mama, no, no, all done, all done. Now Epperly loves to open every other cabinet and every other door in the house. But she thinks if she denies these fears that she has, if she just keeps them in the cupboard or in the closet, well, then she won't have to deal with the fear she feels when we turn them on. Some of us will spend most of our lives denying our fears. And we have all kinds of fears. Some of us are afraid of being alone. And so we deny that fear by surrounding ourselves with as many people as we possibly can. Some of them are good and healthy relationships. Others, well, not so much. Some of us fear rejection. And so we spend our entire lives denying that fear by doing things to receive the praise and acceptance of others. Some of us fear being forgotten. And so we work as hard as we possibly can to leave some kind of legacy. We point others to all the accomplishments that we have made in our lives in order that they know that we are worth remembering, and so we're not forgotten. Some of us fear failure. So we spend our whole lives trying to live up to success as defined by the world that we live in. Some of us, we fear growing old. And so we buy every possible product and everything that has bought into the culture of youth in this world that says, if you are getting old, that's a bad thing. You should be as young as you can for as long as you can. Some of us fear getting old. Some of us, and really I think this is all of us, we fear death itself. We fear the finality of our lives. The fact that in our minds after we die, there's a possibility that we just simply may be no more. And that is also possibly true of the ones that we love and we care for. And each time a fear crops up, we go to these great lengths to shove it down, to bury it, to hide it, to deny its existence. Because if we don't, we might find ourselves facing the ultimate fear of all, that we lack faith. And because we don't have faith, well, then maybe God will move on altogether. We will find ourselves alone amidst our fears. But of course, the more we deny our fears, the greater they grow. We have just as much control over denying our fears as we do control over a storm. We can dismiss our fears. We can bury our fears in Amazon purchases. We can deny they exist. We can hide behind layers of accomplishments, but they will not go away. Despite our best efforts, the waves, they grow higher. And the wind, it begins to pick up, and water begins filling the boat. And in desperation, at this moment when it feels like all is lost, when there's nothing that we can do to keep the things that cause us fear from overcoming our lives, overwhelming our lives, and leave us holding nothing, we look to God and we ask, "Don't you care that I'm going to drown?" We look at God and we say, "God, where are you? Can't you see what's going on here? This is it. You better show up." This is exactly what Jesus' disciples ask him as they are standing in the boat. Jesus has just spent the day teaching. And he's been teaching large crowds parables about what faith looks like. Faith is like a mustard seed. It starts really, really, really small. But then it will grow into a tree in which its very branches will nest birds. And Jesus is tired from telling these stories. And so he says to his disciples, let's cross over the lake. Let's go to the other side. And they get in the boat and they begin to travel. Now, Jesus' disciples are maybe somewhat comfortable in the water. A couple of them are fishermen, but as a whole, the Israelites are not known for their seamanship. They're not great sailors. They're okay if it's calm, if the winds are favorable, but when things begin to be a little bit more questionable weather-wise, well, they start to worry. They see that the waves are beginning to rise, and the winds are picking up, and there are some dark clouds on the horizon. And the disciples, they begin to deny their fears because, again, they don't want to show any lack of faith. And they say to themselves, well, we've been in things like this before. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Nothing to worry about here. Don't be afraid. And very shortly, they find themselves in a completely different situation. Water is breaking over the edges of the boat. They know that this is possibly their last moment. Death is just around the corner. And so, wide-eyed and soaking wet, they turn to Jesus, and he's asleep in the boat. And they say to him, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" In this moment of desperation, they finally acknowledge their fears. They say to themselves, unless he does something, we are all going to die. And at that moment, a voice breaks through the chaos. "Silence," Jesus says. "Be still." Out of his mercy, Christ calms the waves of uncertainty and he stills the winds of confusion. Now, we have to be very clear about what's taking place here. It's not like Jesus says, okay, let's just bring it down a level. And suddenly, well, the winds are still strong and the waves are still high, but they're not as bad as they were before. No, we go from utter destruction to completely calm. There's not a wave on the water. Not a cloud in the sky. Everything has been still. And Jesus does this for the disciples not because of something they've done for him. It's not because they've requested it. It's not because they've shown an immense amount of faith. It's not because they are good people and ethical. It's not because they have shown themselves to be right with God. No, he does it simply out of grace. He does it because they are loved. He does it because it's his perfect will to love those who are in need of him. He calms the storm, not because the disciples are brave, not because they are perfectly faithful. He does it because they are precious to him. This is the God who reveals himself in Jesus Christ on a lake, in a boat. The God who loves us in the midst of our fears. Now, every single one of you here this morning is a little bundle of fears. And I don't know what your fears are, and frankly, I don't need you to tell them to me, but I know that every one of you has them. We fear for the ones we love. We fear for ourselves. We have all sorts of kinds of fears. And so Jesus will ask each one of us, why is it, do you still have no faith? But Jesus doesn't ask that, again, because we are afraid. We need to step aside and remove this correlation between fear and faith. No, Jesus doesn't ask that because we are afraid. In fact, Jesus himself has been afraid. He will experience fear in his life, and we will always face fears in our lives. So when Jesus says, "Do you still have no faith?" it's not because you're afraid. Jesus asks, "Do you still have no faith?" because in the face of fear, we as human beings, we believe the lie that God doesn't care that we are going to drown. We believe the lie that the storm is going to overcome us before God does something in our lives. We believe the lie that we are alone. We believe the lie that at the end, death wins. We believe the lie that our value lies in what we have to offer the world. Our success, our youth, our money, our beauty. All of these are lies that we believe. If we lack faith, it's not because we are afraid. It's because in our fear, we have lost sight of God's love and the promises that He has made. We believe the lie that He has checked out and that He has abandoned us. So, friends, you need to hear this morning. He is not. He is with us in the boat. And He is speaking to every single one of us, silence, be still. And the question for us this morning is, what are we going to then do in the face of our fears? If we are not to cry out, "Do you even care that we are drowning?" what are we going to say? What are we going to do as an alternative? Well, while the disciples, they are crying out to God, while we are crying out to God, Jesus is in the back of the boat, asleep. I envy those people who can sleep on planes. I've done a fair amount of traveling with my wife, Charlie. You guys know Charlie. And Charlie is one of these individuals that as soon as she sits down, she's asleep. And I'm completely flabbergasted by it. I don't understand how a person can knock out like that. And when I say she's asleep, I mean she is asleep. I call it the dead squirrel. She is out cold. I actually have a picture of it. I was going to share it, but I value my marriage, and so I decided against that. I, on the other hand, I can't sleep a wink on a plane. I sit down, and as soon as those engines start going and we begin taxiing, I know that we're going to take off. And believe me, I know the statistics. It's like 0.00000001% that you're going to be in a plane crash. But every time I get into a plane, oh, it's that percentage. It's that day. I'm convinced that we are going down, and so I am white-knuckled in the seat. That's taking off. Landing, because again, I know the percentages and I know how this usually goes, it's when we're landing that's rough for me. My eyes are closed, I'm still white-knuckled, and I'm praying, "Lord, please don't take me. I'm not ready. And this whole time, as we're hitting turbulence and we're bouncing our way down towards the runway, I look over and Charlie is still asleep. As the waves begin to fill the boat, and as the wind tears away the rigging, Jesus is in the back, on a cushion, asleep. And that's exactly what we are called to in the face of fear. We are called to rest. Not because, again, Jesus doesn't have fears. He does. If you are told of a Jesus who is stoic in the face of fear, that God never is afraid, that's not true. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is I am. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's afraid. And on the cross, He's afraid. God knows what it is to be afraid. So it's not that he's resting because he's not afraid. He is resting in the truth that God is at work, that God is protecting him, that the waves can be as high as they want and the winds can surge and blow as strongly as they may, but God is at work. Jesus rests in the truth that we are loved and cared for, that our value lies in being children of God, not in what we accomplish. He rests in the truth that death has lost its sting, that nothing can keep us from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He rests in the truth that there is one who gives us life, and that he promises it, and that nothing will keep God from fulfilling his promises. This is what it means to have faith. To have faith is not to deny your fears. To have faith is to, in face of your fears, to rest in the love of God. And so I want to challenge you this morning with three things. Again, you have fears. Every single one of us does. And every single one of us will find ourselves faced with those fears, and we have a couple of options. We can either respond as the disciples do, God, are you even here? We can deny those fears. We can act like they don't tug on the strings of our hearts in our daily lives, or we can do something else. And I want to offer you three alternatives. The first one is this. We need to abandon the correlation between fear and faith. You can still have faith if you're afraid. If you're scared, that doesn't mean that you don't believe in the power of God. It just simply means you're human. And being a human being in this world can be a scary thing. And when we abandon this correlation between faith and fear, it also calls us to do the second thing, which is stop denying our fears altogether. And when we stop denying our fears, we can then see them as the opportunity that they are. You see, fear is an opportunity to celebrate God's goodness. Fear is an opportunity to celebrate God's faithfulness. When we are afraid, and we recognize and we admit that we are afraid, we invite God in to be the one who speaks silence and be still into our lives. And when we do that, it brings us to the third challenge, which is to rest in the truth that he is faithful. Even amongst the waves, even in the wind, as the storm is raging around us, as it often does in our lives, God is there for us. And like Christ, we too can find a cushion to lay our head on and to know that the one who rules over all creation also rules over the storms in our life. And he says to every single one of us, silence, be still. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, in your grace and in your mercy, you have called us to follow you. But Lord, following you does not keep us from our fears. It does not keep us from the brokenness in this world. And so, Lord, our prayer this morning is that as each one of us finds ourselves in the midst of those fears, facing those fears, Lord, let us not deny them. Let us not believe that the presence of that fear in our lives is somehow a reflection of our lack of faith, but let us hold true to your promises. Let us hear the words, silence, be still, as the promise of your love and your grace in our lives. The promise that no matter how bad the storm gets, you will not abandon us, but you will love us in your mercy and grace. We pray these things in Christ's name.